Knowing God. The scripture that was read, we see in verse 10, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And so our knowledge of God should be increasing as we live the Christian life. So how much do you know about God? The scriptures are full of things that tell us about God and his characteristics and all sorts of things that let us get insight into who God is. But do you really know God? That's an important question. And even more important is, does God know you? In Matthew 7, 21 through 23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So if we practice lawlessness, if we're disobedient to God, he does not know us. We may claim to know him, as these people did. And they called him Lord, Lord, but they weren't doing what he said. And sadly, many people in the church are doing that same thing. Saying Lord, Lord, in essence, saying, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, but they're not doing the will of God, just as these people weren't. It had always been God's desire to be known. He wanted the Israelites to know him in Exodus 6, 6 through 7. Say therefore to the sons of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from their bondage. I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm, with great judgments. Then I will take you for my people, that I may be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of under the burdens of the Egyptians. As you may recall, Moses didn't even know God's name and had to ask. Israel did not know God yet either. And so Moses said, who should I say sent me? He did not know who God was. Then with the nations, meaning all nations, Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And truly today we have Christians all across the world. In just about every nation there are Christians who know God. In Hebrews 8, 10 through 12, Hebrews 8, 7 through 12, for if the first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel in those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds will I remember no more. And so the nations are going to know the Lord. Christianity is spread all across the world. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12, Paul said, for this reason I also suffer these things, but I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. We sing a song with that in it. I know whom I have believed. And so Paul said, I know God. I know the person that I believe in. In Ephesians 3:19, to know the love of Christ, and 4:13, and until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Again, talking about increasing in our knowledge of God and of Jesus. And it should be a continual process to know more and more about him as we grow in our Christian life. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And so there are those that are against the knowledge of God. And Romans talks about those who chose not to retain God in their knowledge and not to remember him. And so there are many in the religious world or in the world around us that are failing to know God and do not want anybody else to know him either. And there have always been those against those who are striving to know about God and rejecting everything about him that they are able to know. In Philippians 3, verses 8 through 10, more than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Notice he says that I may know him. Paul said he knew God. And so this knowledge that he wants to know about God is that power of the resurrection and being able to be conformed to his sufferings and conformed to his death, that God may become a part of him and he may be fully immersed in God and in the knowledge of him. And we all can gain in our knowledge of God. There's never a point in which we can say, oh, I know everything about God there is to know. And so I really don't have anything else that I need to know about him. We can always learn more. And I've heard this said many times, and now I can say it. In my 82 years, I'm still finding things in Scripture that I didn't know were there before. And so I'm still discovering things that I misunderstood, perhaps, and just kind of read over it or really missed it somehow. And I can still find different things out. And so we can grow in our knowledge of God. It's always been God's desire to be known. You know, we like to be known, don't we? There was a time when Adrian, our grandkids, lived over in Faraday, just an hour and a half away from us. Now they're 12 hours away from us. And so we try to make it a point to get over there at least a couple times a year so our grandkids will know who we are. We want them to know us. We want them to remember us. And it's always good to be remembered and to realize that people know us. We received a card from the Monticello Church of Christ at the death of Brandy. And after being gone from there for 20 years, they still consider us part of the family, and they remembered us and sent us a card at her passing. And so it's always good to be known, to be remembered. And God has always desired to want to be known. There are those who do not know God, and that's a sad thing. We see with Samuel as a youth in 1 Samuel 3:7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. So as a young child, we're not sure exactly what his age was, was after he was weaned that this happened, but he didn't know a lot about the Lord. And so the word of the Lord had not been revealed to him, which indicates that we know God through the word of the Lord. And so for us today, that word of the Lord is the Bible, and that's how we get to know God. It's the only way we can get to know him. Pharaoh did not know God, Exodus 5:2 and 1 and 2. Afterwards, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go." And guess what? Pharaoh got to know the Lord to some extent. He learned who God was and that he was someone that needed to be respected. The ungodly who rejected God in Romans 1:28, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. And there are people who don't want to hear about God. They may have known him at one point, but they don't want anything else to do with God. And many people have left this congregation, gone back into the world. And we go and try to talk to them about the Lord. They don't want to hear it. They're not willing to hear it. And so there are those who do not like to retain the knowledge of God anymore, even though they may have known him at one time. Those that we fail to teach do not know God. 1 Corinthians 15:34, "Become sober-minded as you ought and stop sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." It should be shameful to us that there are people around us that do not know the Lord. And we should be sharing him with them so that they may know who God is. And then those who have not obeyed the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 1:7-8. "When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Some say that those two phrases are equal, those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. If they know God, then they would obey the gospel. So those two things are equal. But there are those who do not know God. They do not have not been confronted with God, have not been taught God. The sexually immoral Gentiles, 1 Thessalonians 4:3-5. "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that is, you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God." And sadly, in the world today, there are many who claim to be Christians, but they're living like the world. And so they're living as though they don't know God, even though they claim to know God, just as those in Matthew 7:23. They claim to be doing the will of God, doing things in his name, but he did not know them because they were practicing evil and sinful things, such as these Gentiles were. And so Paul pointed out that sometimes Christians are just living like the world and you can't tell the difference. And so we have to be different. And if we know God and we truly love and appreciate what he has done for us, then we will be doing his will. Those disobedient Christians mentioned in Titus 1:16, they profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. And so there are those who profess to know God, but in their life, in the way they're living their lives, they show that they don't really know God. And so that's true, just as mentioned, Matthew 7:23. The same thing is true here that Titus is referred to. They claim to know God, but by the way they live their life, they show that they do not know God. And then knowing God should make a difference in our lives. If we truly know God, then the way God wants to be known, then it's going to make a difference in the way we live our lives. It's going to help us to please Him and bear fruit in every good work. Colossians 1, 9 through 10. For this very reason, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And so, increasing in the knowledge of His will and increasing in the knowledge of God Himself. So that is how we get to know God, and it affects the way we live our lives. If we truly know God, then it's going to affect what we do in our lives. And we're going to be increasing in that knowledge of His will and the knowledge of God Himself. It brings grace and peace. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 3, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. And so we get grace and peace by knowing the Lord, increasing in that knowledge of the Lord. And many people don't recognize or realize the peace that can come as a result of doing the will of God and having that pure conscience that says that you know God, that you're doing everything that according to His will that you're aware of. And it gives you that pure conscience and peace within because of that knowledge. It helps us to escape defilements of the world. 2 Peter 2:20, for if after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and are overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. And so the defilements of the world are overcome by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The more we know about what they taught us, the more we know about the Word of God, then it's going to help us to escape the defilements of the world. The more we know Him, the less we're going to sin. It affects the way we live our lives. It helps us guard against error. 2 Peter 3, 17 through 18. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, lest being carried away by the error of the unprincipled men, you fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Again, this emphasis on knowing and growing in that knowledge. That the more we know, the more we realize we need to know. And so it helps us to guard against error and falling from our own steadfastness if we know the will of God and we practice it in our lives. It helps us to please Him and bear fruit in every good work. Colossians 1, 9 through 10. And Jeremiah 9, 23 through 24. Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for I delight in these things. And so it is better than the riches of the rich man that he could boast in, that we need to boast in understanding the Lord and knowing Him and putting those things we know into practice. It produces love, 1 John 4:8. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And so here John equates the fact that If you know God, you're going to practice love. If you don't practice love, you're not of God, because God is love. And love is a fulfillment of the will of God. If we love God, we're going to keep his commandments. If we love our neighbor, we're not going to do anything to harm them. And so love is a fulfilling of the law. And the knowledge of God helps us to produce love in our lives. And then it results in obedience, 1 John 2, 3 through 6. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk in the same manner as he walked. So we're going to live like Jesus if we know God. If we know the Lord, we're going to be doing what Jesus would do on this earth. And so if we know him, we're going to keep his commandments. And if we say we know him and don't keep his commandments, we're lying. And so many who claim to be Christians, and like those in Matthew 7:23, oh, we did all these things. You know, we attended church services, every service, and we did this and we did that. And he'll say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Because you were not living your life the way you should. It doesn't make any difference how much we come to church if we're not doing the will of God. Amen. Coming to church will not save us. Living like Jesus is what will save us. He brought listening to God's word through the apostles, 1 John 4:6. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us, the inspired apostles. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. In 1 John, John is dealing with a group of people who are referred to as the Gnostics. And they thought knowledge was the answer to everything, and that knowledge would save you. And John was saying here, if you're not listening to what I'm saying, and that is about the love of God that he is talking about in the context here. If you're not loving like God loves, if you're not living like Jesus would, then you don't have God. And we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error by the knowledge of God, by listening to what the apostles said. They were revealing the will of God to us, and we still listen to them today through the word of God. So do you really know God? Colossians 1:10, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. Are you walking in a manner worthy of the Lord? Do you please him in all respects? Do you bear fruit in every good work? Or do you sometimes hear yourself saying, I know the Bible says this, but that but will cause you to be lost. You can't say, well, I'm going to ignore this part of God's word, and I'm going to follow him in other parts of his word. So we must increase in the knowledge of God and walk in a manner worthy of him. Are you increasing in the knowledge of God? And are you walking worthy of your calling? So important for us to recognize the importance of that. And just as Jesus said, it's possible that some of us sitting here this morning will say to him, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this? And didn't we do that? And he'll say to me, depart from you, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Very possible that some of us will hear that. Even though we may think that we're following God, we may think we know God, but our lives are saying something different. And we need to recognize that that will not be acceptable to God, that we must really know him and walk as Jesus walked. and walk worthy of our calling. We can help you to do that this morning, either in that initial obedience, where you repent of your sins, confess Jesus as your Lord and Master, as the Son of God, and then you're buried with Christ in baptism for the remission of your sins. All of those sins will be wiped away. You won't have to worry about those anymore. God's never going to bring those up again. All you have to do then is live righteously before God the rest of your life, which you will make mistakes. And when you do, you repent that and confess it, and then you're back in God's grace again. And for you as Christians, if you have failed to do the things you know you should, and there are things that you've said, well, I know God says this, but I don't think he's going to hold me accountable for that, you need to repent and confess that and get your life back in line with the will of God. If we can help you in any way in your knowledge of God and his will and to be assured that you're going to have that home in heaven, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.